for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, May the 28th, 2004. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister on this.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Jim Landry from Beaumont, Texas. He's a protege of Brother Dean sitting here. Mm-hmm. And Brother Dean will be ministering in the morning. And he's a board member of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. See why we need him. See, he's up there. And we're blessed to have him this service. Jim Landry.
Amen. No, I'm blessed. Greetings to every one of you. I say that I'm blessed. Brother Glenn has been a very faithful overseer. And I'm just very privileged to be part of the team, Lake Hamilton. I thank God for the many years that he's given me to submit to my pastor, Brother Harlan Dean. I don't remember. I think 87 and 88, somewhere around that time. All I remember is when Worley came to town, I think that was in 85. And somewhere after that, I was drawn by the Holy Spirit to submit. Then Brother Norman Parrish is our senior overseer. So I'm just very privileged. I have a lot of pastors. And I like that. Recently, a friend of mine who's a professor of a Bible college asked me to teach and to attend some additional classes on Tuesday night. I said, well, no, Jim, I can't do that. I said, my senior overseer meets every Tuesday night, and we have deliverance. And I've been going there for 12 or so years, and I'm not going to stop. He was just taking it all like, you know, we need to have integrity about the business we have for God. And I'm not about to give up Tuesday night after all these years he spent laboring in my life for anything unless the Lord say so. Tonight, many of you have been drawn to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp because God is preparing you for active duty in the war. How many of you know that there's a terror in the spirit right now? There are terrorists in the spirit realm that we have to battle. And so tonight's subject, I'm going to share a little bit about the basics of warfare. And I'll tell you this, that in leadership, as God is preparing you for the work, it is so important that your lives are transparent, that you are candid, that you are easily accessible, that you're willing to give your all to help just one more person. And I can remember some kind of way in the midst of this message, we're going to deal a little bit about accountability. We want to talk about the basics of deliverance first, accountability. And then we want to, hopefully, God will lead us into some deliverance. And Brother Glenn said for me to take my time. That's very difficult because I know how it is. I've been on that side at 8:30 in the evening, too. So let's just hope that God gives us some type of excitement in the Word that will kind of perk us up so when the enemy try to make us gnaw it out, we will awaken. Let me just begin with, even though we're going to start with the basis of warfare, let me begin with something that took place. Maybe this is 2004, maybe 1991, 92. That would be approximate. I was at the fellowship hall, and many people were coming in, much like most of you, coming in for counseling, for ministry. And I would always make myself available. At that time, I had my own business. And I wasn't very successful because all I wanted to do was talk to my clients about Jesus. So I quit and got a job where I worked with my hands for Exxon Refinery. And all I had to do was show up and do something. Then I could leave. And made a lot more money, too, incidentally. So anyway, while the people were piling up there and they were getting some deliverance, being prayed for, I remember very clearly that I had three or four people sitting in my perimeter here. And I can remember one time one of the spirits and one of the young men said, I want to go in there. So I had my hands full because I didn't really have a lot of people working with me. I was under authority, but I was there during the day and people were just coming in wanting to get curses broke, wanting to get prayer. And so I was giving out orders, I bind you, no, you can't be imported there, you can't transfer. And this one over here was going, and so the Lord was showing me that's fear of pregnancy, fear to have a baby. And I remember three people all going through three different manifestations and it wasn't difficult to handle because I was listening to God. I remember that. But I made a very foolish mistake. I knew the territory, so our assembly was right next to one of the largest parks in our city. And then there's Church's Chicken right down the street from that. So I knew we had a lot of dogs around there. So I decided, well, since we're having so much fun, everything is going real wonderful, I'm just going to send some of these demons into the dogs over there and let them eat off the chicken at Church's Chicken. So I said, well, you demons, you get out of here going to those dogs. Well, they obliged. They were glad to go in them dogs. So that's all it was to that. It wasn't a big issue. And I remember that Tuesday night going by Brother Holland, and I said, Brother Holland, we had a wonderful session, I think, Monday or Sunday afternoon, and some people got delivered of this and that. And remember, I was very youthful at that time, probably less than 4 or 5 years in the ministry of deliverance. And he stood up there and he rebuked me point blank, just straight up point blank, and quoted scripture and told me point blank what not to do. You don't send any demons, any dogs anymore, Jim. And so, I mean, teachable spirit like I got, I said, okay, okay. And I say this to you because some of you may have missed that bonding, and your ministries are going to miss their destinies if you're not accountable to another man's work. Anyway, he was right, of course, and I repented. I never did it again. I never had a problem with it. But one of the elders at our church worked in another city 15 miles away, and guess what his occupation was? Dog catcher! And I don't give a lot of prophetic words. I don't do a lot of that. I do it, but most of the time it's when I'm away in another place teaching at a crusade or something. Then God give me a lot, you know. And sometimes I just don't step out anyway. I'm just, you know, I say, well, God, if I miss, the worst you can do is raise up somebody else. So I don't say a lot. But anyway, I had told this guy in a service one evening that God's going to make you superintendent of that department. And they know I was very careful with my words, so I wouldn't say that if I didn't really feel like God told me that. Well, he was telling me they're talking about laying off because he worked for the city. Beaumont lost $20 million a year or so before that. Fort Offal lost several million dollars. So they were talking about laying off, and I said, no, the Lord showed me you're going to be the supervisor. Well, when I send the demons and the dogs, guess what? He got fired. They laid him off. You know what he did? He come to service, they brought a lantern. They laid me off at the job. I never forget this because he's probably, Van Wright would be, I can use his name because he can listen to the tape too. He know I'm telling what happened. I'm 51 now. Van Wright ought to be 67, 68, something like that. And he looked at me in the most sincere eyes. He said, but you said, God said I would be the supervisor. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, he did. I didn't have any wavering in my personality, in my spirit at all. I was confident that this man was going to be. I said, let's pray. And also I had to repent of what I had done. Sending the demons into the dogs. One of the assistant managers of the manager of the city of Port Arthur, Texas, God granted favor with my friend and elder at the church, Brother Van Wright. And he saw to it, through his efforts and God's blessing, to have this man reappointed. And not only was he reappointed, before he retired, he was a supervisor. And I need to remember to get this tape to him. Because a lot of the people that I started out years are now ministering and pastoring or assisting other churches throughout Texas. And he was one of the ones that started out in the early years when we first started out. Incidentally, when we first started off, we didn't have membership. I never even gave an altar call. I just, you know, just a missionary. I was just trying to help folks. And then the congregation kept rebuking me. They said, Pastor, you got to tell them. You got to ask them if they want to be part of this work. You keep sending them out. I said, okay. So I want to talk a little bit tonight about the basics of deliverance. And for some of these seasoned workers, this might be a little, I heard my wife said, where did you get that from? Singing to the choir. I said, somebody else said it, so I'm going to this might be singing to the choir type. I don't know what that means. He told me, don't say that too often. I said, okay. So I guess I better think about it. But one thing I can tell you is that for sure is that everywhere we read in the New Testament, we can find in the Gospels that Jesus' commission to the believers consisted of three things. And that was preaching the gospel, casting out devils, and healing the sick. And a careful study of the gospel will clearly indicate that Jesus spent about a third of his ministry doing this. And I believe that it was very clear that he wanted us to do the same thing. But how can we do the very same works that Jesus did if we don't even understand what Jesus did? So we want to begin a study in the text of Mark this evening so that we can look at the authority that Jesus walked in. In Mark, the first chapter, now, I believe I was at the assembly hall in the heat of the day one day last week, and the Lord gave me this message for Lake Hamilton, and I was puzzled that He gave it to me, and that He made me study in some material I had pertaining to this message. But I can tell you this, that if I will shorten some of the additional testimonies and be just specific to what He had me to study and to interpret and to teach, that this may be a tape that might be a tool that you might be able to share with those that you're trying to explain about the concept of Christians being demonized. In Mark, the first chapter, the 21st verse, it reads, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into their synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." Now, when Jesus began His public ministry, one thing that impressed the people the most was His way of dealing with evil spirits. It's interesting to note that in the Old Testament, there is no Old Testament record of casting out an evil spirit. But all of the rest of the work that Jesus did, feeding the 5,000, et cetera, and are listed in the Old Testament. But this one, expelling evil spirits, was not listed. That's interesting. The people observed that Jesus taught with authority. They observed the miracles. And in verse 23, we find that, "And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out." Now, he refers to the evil spirit. God's word refers to him as He. Well, this is important because the evil spirit in the man instantly recognized who Jesus was. But it took the disciples more than a year to figure it out. Verse 24, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Now, there are three phrases that we can use to interchangeably when referring to evil spirits. Demons, evil spirits, and unclean spirits. And then there are several types of spirits that are listed in the Bible, such as the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of fear, the spirit of bondage, and so forth, inside the Bible. But here in verse 24, you'll notice that when the spirits say, "Let us alone," that he identified himself as "we." So you will see this characteristic is very common when dealing with evil spirits. We can look at another example in Mark, the fifth chapter. We will come back here when Jesus was dealing with the man that had the legion of spirits in the Galilean. And so we see in Mark 5:8 that, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou," once again, "unclean spirit." And in verse 9, "And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many." So Jesus said to the man, "What is thy name?" However, the evil spirit answered, "We." This is kind of important here. And more than likely, this is a representation of several demons operating throughout an individual's life. Scriptures say in Mark 5:8, it is a man with an unclean spirit. And Mark 1:23, it also states it is a man with an unclean spirit. So both of these men had an unclean spirit. obviously they had layers of spirits protecting each other's territory. Because in Mark 5:9 accounts, it refers to the unclean spirit as having a legion. And most of you should be aware that a legion consists of between 4 and 6,000 Roman soldiers. Now, I have seen, and Worley said it on one of his tapes and his teachings, and I have personally worked with children. I'm certain there were legions in there. And many of us, as Pastor Worley would have said, have had a long time to accumulate a lot more than a legion or two. And I'm pretty sure I had legions. I know I did. And I'm certain that God is still not finished. Every once in a while, he allows a sub to come up. And he says, Jim, there's an issue, Proverbs, the fourth chapter, in your heart that I want to deal with. So, principalities are very unique here because we see that Jesus referred to he and the demons referred to themselves as we. And but Jesus saw them all as the same. Now, what's interesting about this is that in verse 25 it says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Now, one thing we want to notice that this man's deliverance was very dramatic, had a physical manifestation. Physical manifestations are perfectly in order if God chooses to have those. It was not a normal behavior in the that generally occurred inside a synagogue in Galilee. I've seen over the years, and many, particularly in the younger years when we first started out, in many places where we went, as we were going from place to place, learning and having a great time in the Holy Spirit, where when this happened, when an individual manifested inside the assembly, they put the man out of the assembly, but Jesus put the demon out of the man. In verse 27, and they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Oh, by the way, you got that kind of authority too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region around about Galilee. This hasn't changed, people. You begin ministering to the demonically oppressed. You get some manifestations. You begin to deal with those manifestations. The reputation will go all around immediately. Expelling demons is still a thing that tremendously impresses and excites God's people. One time a minister asked my pastor, Brother Dean, why is it that individuals get so excited when a deliverance minister comes by and shares a message on deliverance? He said that they kept on wanting to lay hands and cast out devils for a couple of months after the deliverance minister left. And Brother Dean said he told him that, and these signs should follow them that believe. It's simple. So, So, yes, it's still a very impressive thing that happens. Now, one thing I would like to emphasize that Jesus dealt with the evil spirit in the man and not the man. There was no previous evidence that the man who attended the synagogue had ever behaved that way before. But the presence of Jesus, the anointing brought about an unseen manifestation inside this man. I remember of a testimony of Pastor Worley. After arriving in the airport, and I don't remember if it was Russia, Romania, I don't remember what country it was, but I'm not sure, but I know that he had just got off the plane, and he was walking to the lobby, and a demon cried out, and a man said, Worley, we know who you are! We know who you are! And perhaps some of you have had similar experiences. I have. We know who you are! I said, yes, I'm a son of God. You know? But I want you to understand something here also, that sooner or later, as workers of God and disciples in the ministry of deliverance, the demons are going to know you too. They also know their own. So if you're not right, then they know who you are also. But in verse 32, at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto Jesus all that were diseased and them that were demon-possessed. Or some of your translation might say possessed with demons. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of different diseases and cast out many devils or demons and suffered not the devils or demons to speak because they knew him. You notice I kept using that word interchangeably because we know that there's only one devil but many demons. And I think that probably a more better translation to be observed might be they cast out many demons. And also, consider the words here in verse 32, where them that were demon-possessed or possessed with devils, possessed with demons, I think this is probably, there would probably be a better translation there also, particularly for new converts. And let me explain. The word demon-possessed is often misunderstood by theologians and often misunderstood by the congregations and the authorities that they represent. It's because that the Greek word, if they would do the study on it, the Greek word for demon-possessed is diamondizomai. That's diamondizomai. Two words. I want to break that word down into the two parts that it represents. Diamond, D-A-M-O-N, is the root and comes from the noun demon. Izomai, I-Z-O-M-A-I, is the passive meaning to be demonized. And I believe that this would be a better translation of demon-possessed to simply say that these individuals were demonized. This translation misunderstanding from millions of people and many religious groups have obscured the true meaning in the Greek. Because what they say is, how can a Christian be possessed by a demon or by a devil? And our answer should be that a true Christian cannot be possessed by the devil, cannot be possessed by a demon. A true Christian is possessed by Jesus. However, in many true Christians, there are some areas where they are demonized, where they are afflicted, where they are affected by demons, areas in their lives and their characters where they are not themselves yet totally, fully in control. They are demonized, but they are not possessed by Satan. If we could just clear away this one obstacle of translation, we would be farther to seeing reality and knowing who our enemy is and his strategies. And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were demon-possessed. Now, incidentally, the New Testament hardly makes any distinction between expelling evil spirits and or healing the sick. And Jesus didn't either. And almost in every area where Jesus dealt with the sick and the demonized, it was done in one overall operation. Verse 34, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and he cast out many devils or demons, and suffered not the demons to speak because they knew him. Now the King James, the New King James, and several other translations use the word cast out devils. However, in the Phillips translation, it uses the word to expel. Now, expelling is a little bit more simple, practical. If you inhale smoke into your lungs, what do you do to get rid of it? You expel it. It is an action of the will, but it also has a physical aspect to it. In verse 39, and Jesus preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he cast out demons. Now, this is important here because in the Phillips translation, he says, he continued throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, expelling demons, and Philip uses the word continued, which kind of represents a certain tense in the Greek. Now, looking at verse 39, you'll notice that the word synagogue is synagogues, S. So, Philip brings out the fact that this was not an isolated, dramatic instance that just took place in just one synagogue, but that Jesus' regular practice in every synagogue was to do two things. He preached and he expelled demons. Jesus did it throughout Galilee. And there had to be over 100 synagogues in Galilee. That's how important deliverance was and is. Now, many in religious circles have the attitude that it might be necessary every now and then to expel a few demons. But it's rare and it's exceptional. And usually the attitude is that such people that need it either in jail or mental institutions. However, this is not the type of person that Jesus was dealing with. Jesus was dealing with Orthodox Jews who met every Sunday in the synagogues, spent the rest of the week caring for their families, tilling their fields, fishing the seas, basic, normal, respectable religious people who had certain hang-ups, certain areas where they were not in control of themselves. So don't get the idea that a person who needs deliverance has to be out of their minds, have to be a maniac of some sort. Deliverance is for all of God's children who attend fellowship, but somewhere in their lives, somewhere there's an area in their lives where they are demonized, where they are not fully in control. It may be there in their physical desires, it may be in their emotions, it may be in their minds. However, what is important in this message today is that you accept what I've said. It could clear out a whole bunch of prejudices which can keep you from being able to see things objectively. Now that I've shared some basics about the warfare, all of you have received your commissions to do warfare. You're here because God has brought you here to do warfare. Now, one of the things that there are some things that are necessary in your commission in order for you to be found faithful in this ministry. One of the things I want to share with you today is that every one of us are going to have a road to Damascus experience. Paul had a road to Damascus experience in Acts, the ninth chapter. I think that I'm going to read a verse, but I think we should all be here familiar with Paul's road to Damascus experience. But in verse 17, there's something that's said here that I think that bears record that we should consider. And that was that Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and he put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is so important here that every one of you that are beginning to get into the war and get into the battle, understand that a road to Damascus experience is so important. Before Paul knew authority, Paul tried to wipe out the church. He tried to wipe out the work of the church. He tried to wipe out the organization of the church, no differently than individuals who try to hinder the growth and keep the church in confusion concerning direction today. After Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he saw that it was hard for his feet, or human power, to kick against the gonads, which speaks of God's authority. Paul immediately fell to the ground, acknowledged Jesus as Lord, and it was after this that Paul was able to submit to the directions given him by Ananias of the city of Damascus, because Paul had met God's authority. Now, you need to understand that Ananias is only mentioned in the Scriptures one time. And Paul had to meet Jesus on the road. He had to meet authority, or he would not have been able to submit to this unknown, a man of Paul's background. This is so important. It tells us that that whoever meets authority deals purely with the authority and not with the man. We are not to see the man, but only the authority that God has vested in the man. Our entire relationship with God is regulated by whether or not we have met authority. Before we can work for God, the first thing we should meet is authority. No one can be an authority unless they have submitted to authority. And I wanted to share some of these principles with you because I've spent a number of years in the ministry. Not quite enough as I should, but I'm looking forward to the next 20, 30, 40 years, say the Lord. And one thing that I have observed over the years is a great bastardizing of deliverance workers, a great bastardizing in the ministry. And I'm taking it all by because I'm concerned about it. And any person that has a pastor's calling, a pastor's heart, would be concerned about the great bastardizing that's taking place in the church today. There are several requirements that are necessary to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I'm just going to list a few of those requirements. First of all, I mentioned to you the Damascus Road experience, where you learn to submit to authority. The greatest command given to mankind is not your ministries, not your ability to deny self, not your giving, not your fasting, not your prayer life, not your works, but obedience. Obey. Of all things, we got to obey. To truly understand obedience, we simply have to look at the life of Jesus. Jesus came to do the will of the Father, not his own. There's a lot into that statement. Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. And that's a maturing process that each one of us, as believers, also must learn obedience by the things we suffer. But what I've observed over the years is a movement within the ranks of knowledgeable deliverance workers who separate themselves from accountability. Don't want to go through suffering. Got a new way, a better way. There's no original anointing. Every one of us, through the prayers and the mentoring of our pastors, received their mantles. In other words, Moses was selected by God. God is the one that selects and appoints the overseer. But God told Moses to appoint Joshua. Now, one thing about God's hearing God's people cried out and asked for deliverance. So God spent several years before he sent a deliverer. Then when Moses did show up, it wasn't much longer after Moses saw an Egyptian treating a Hebrew man in an unrespectable way, and Moses killed him, and God said, well, you're not ready yet to shepherd my people. So then he stuck him out 40 more years shepherding sheep. And then after he was ready, after 40 years shepherding sheep, then God said, now I'll send you back. Now you're ready to pull my people out. Okay, now Joshua was a servant to Moses. And Joshua is nowhere in the scriptures that indicate that Joshua knew he was going to be the man. He was simply a servant, a cupbearer, and he served almost 40 years, and then God told him, delegate him, he's the next man. Now, I don't think, because I've been studying this thing on authority, and I don't see anywhere where Joshua knew he was next in order. We got too many next in line people. Something is wrong about that picture. Something is wrong about that. So Moses received his instruction from God to appoint Joshua. Now, God appoints the overseers, and they are responsible to delegate authority. Now, we find this pattern throughout the scriptures. And if I was going to teach on authority, we just go pattern after pattern after pattern. Right now, I'm doing 240-week courses at two churches in our city, and I'm teaching right out of Watchman Nee's book, Spiritual Authority. And we need to know authority. I found that this is a great adversary in the deliverance workers. As I've traveled over the country over the last 10 or 15 years, the biggest fragmenting of the deliverance workers, I do it this way. I don't think he's all that. I would never speak against authority. Oh, no. Oh, and there's some people like to come drop their garbage in my ears, and I just love them, but I can't agree with that. So save your garbage. I have people call me from around the country. Hey, I just want you to know so-and-so not in Lake Hamlin anymore. I want to call you so-and-so not in Lake Hamlin anymore. So-and-so not, I don't care. It hasn't done to do anything about what God told me, Jim Landry, to do. And I don't mind submitting authority. Submitting authority is not just being responsible for what Pastor Glenn tells me to do or Pastor Dean. It's doing what I don't want to do and doing it willfully. What a smile. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Some of you don't want... We've got to pay the price, people. So what I'm seeing in the last few years are individuals that are practicing the ministry of deliverance that have no accountability to others. Independents, loners, carrying on their own ministry, they got ability, but they don't have accountability. There are two principles of authority that's operating in the universe. The principle of the authority of God and the principle of satanic rebellion. You can work in the principle of satanic rebellion and still have some authority to cast out some devils. Well, even Jesus said that, I know you not. So you have to be careful of what principle you operate in, because there is a rebellion that's in the church that God says it is to his nostrils. He doesn't like it. So we have to change. And so don't tell me there's not people we can submit to, because I don't have any problem submitting, because I don't want to be the man anyway. How many of you have met individuals? As a pastor, many times individuals come to me and they say, listen, I'm an evangelist or a teacher and or a prophet of God, and God's played it on my heart to come by your ministry, give you a call to come by. And I said, well, okay, I'd like to meet you. Maybe we get together for a cup of coffee or something like that. By the way, who are you under submission to? What group are you with? Oh, I'm with nobody. God told me just to submit to God. Ding! But normally I do, but I want you to know I'm very careful. I do minister of love about accountability and how important. Normally you can give your testimony. You have to correct them. Just give your testimony and how it benefited your life. They get the message. So we have a lot of people like that out there that are totally independent. There's nobody good enough to submit to. I can't find a deliverance church. Find a church that loves Jesus. Submit to authority. I'm not talking about one just telling you, you can't do this. I'm talking about there's churches all over every city that believe in the gospel message, but maybe not to the extent that you understand the deliverance part of it. So don't tell me you have to fly every Sunday 400 miles to go to service. Something is wrong about that picture. I know what I'm talking about, because before we established the work in Beaumont, I submitted to authority. Now, the pastor that I was submitting to, he's a friend of mine now, and I was visiting with him a few weeks ago, and he said, I was telling him I'm preparing something that we're doing in the year 2005, and I asked him to help me, and he said, I said, well, brother, this is where we're going to do it. And he said, well, you know about so-and-so, so-and-so? I say, no, I don't know about so-and-so. I say, you know, I don't get into the judgment and things like that. I want to work in it. He said, oh, yes, I know you. You're a person that, you know, straight up, follow God, don't get into any mess and stuff like that. And it kind of blessed me when he said that he remembered when I came to his church many, many years ago. I said, I'm moving in from out of town. I said, I came to a few services over the years, and my name is Jim Landry. Oh, I know you, Brother Landry. I say, I just want you to know I'm going to be in the audience, and I will be submitting to your authority, and in about 6 months I'm going to be opening up a mission on the other side of town. If you need me, call me. Now, there was two or three other people with me, and every time they had a prayer line, they was running up there wanting to pray. They are not alive today. I'm not putting them down, but they're not alive. I've seen a lot go. One man came to our assembly. He said, I know Gene Moody. I said, you do? I said, hey, Gene, you know so-and-so? He lied. He stole my books and everything else. He said, just pray for him, Jim. I said, okay. I said, brother. The brother stood there and said, I can quote 32,000 scriptures. I said, well, who are you under authority to? God. I used to be with Copeland. I used to be with Hagin. I don't know where. But anyway, dead, 40-some years old. This ain't nothing to play with, so I'm not going to speak against authority. And this ain't nothing to play with here. I mean, I'm telling you people, I got some problems. I got issues that God's dealing with me too, but I'm not going to mess with authority. And that means all of you have some degree of the authority. So that means my respect goes beyond my elders and to you. I don't want to do anything, I want to hurt you. I mean, I just want to love you, man. But I'm straight up with the word now. Don't get me wrong. The spiritual covering that received by those that are accountable in their lives, is missing by those who won't be accountable in their lives. Many times the principality of darkness is going to manifest in an individual that's not a team worker. And you'll see that independence where everybody's trying to cooperate. They see one person giving the commands or one person leading the prayer, but that independent going to walk over there. And another thing I want to tell you, so I've learned over the years, if I'm working with somebody as a pastor, I got a couple of people I'm working with in deliverance and they got some issues, and my pastor come by, or Brother Glenn, or some one of you come by, and we have a deliverance session, I'm not going to help out on that one, because that's soul ties, and there's other cooperations that the Spirit knows about my personality, and maybe God sent you for that hour, so that's the time I'm not going to help you hug that person. I'm going to get back, because I'm over here. So over here, if I brought somebody, I would not touch the person while these brothers would pray for him, because I brought them, and the Spirits know me. That doesn't mean I couldn't get them out, but I got to use wisdom. Why would I work when I got all these efforts in? So some of y'all just don't have just go. Just run. And you hinder us and don't even know it. We're not going to tell you nothing. So if you bring somebody here, you might just let them loose unless we ask you to help them. So we have to get out of the independent attitude. And in Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 12, it says, "And if you have not been faithful in which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" So if you're not faithful to another man's work, how is God going to establish your work? You may establish your work. It may be a mega work. It may be big. But if it's established under the principle of satanic rebellion, it is soon to fall. Also in John, the 14th chapter, something that we need to consider also as we begin our walk in the ministry of deliverance. In John 14:12, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do also, because I go unto my Father." So here's another thing that you have to consider in your ministries. You're going to have to get it real straight in your mission, and you're going to have to understand your destiny, and that you're going to have to understand that you must do the very same works that Jesus did, and you must understand that his works was a greater work. Every one of you needs to make sure that you meet your destiny. God has a destiny for you in your ministry. So Jesus shared the ministry of deliverance to his disciples. He shared it to many believers for a short period of time. However, it has lasted and it will continue to last until the return of the Lord. Some of you have been involved in spiritual warfare for a number of years, and it's very clear, and you're not confused about the fact, what is the greater works ministry? And that's ministering to someone and getting them set free, seeing Jesus set them free. And to the person that has been, is getting some freedom, that is the most important thing to them, that Jesus loves them so much. That is a greater works ministry, people. But there may be individuals that are here tonight that are a little confused about their direction. They may not believe that doing the very same works is the greater works. They may not understand that. We need to get it right if we're going to remain on God's active duty, if you're going to be commissioned by God and remain on active duty as a soldier of the Lord, or you just well do an AOL, be absent without leave, so that you can be discharged as missing in action. Now, one of the things that you have to consider, God wants to teach your ministries how to war. In Psalms 144:1, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight," I believe here. Yes, okay, so this is a scripture here alluding to God wants to teach your ministries how to war. Sometimes we get the attitude that we know how to war. You know, I had a very good opportunity, because my pastor was not Jezebelic, to be able to learn from a lot of teachers. I have pastors all over the country, and I check in with them. Some have passed away. Some spouses still remain. So I have friends all over the country that men and women of God that have labored in back in the 60s and early 70s, and some of them are still alive. So we need to get our training. We need to invest. We need to invest in time. And like you're doing here at Lake Hamilton, you spent your hard earnings. God has permitted you to come here. So this is not the place to come to pour out your complaints about what you don't like about prayer service. You know, you have to understand that everyone here wants to hear people that are careful with their tongues, because they are all excited and prepared to see the salvation of the Lord and the supernatural. So we're not interested in your personal agendas and your supernatural abilities.
Oh, good thing I don't stay here, huh? That's Brother Jim something else. But I think God would pick me to say these things because y'all know I love y'all. Some of y'all have been knowing for a long time. So you know my spirit. You've tested me, so you know I'm not just... Okay, all right. But I've been watching something for a while now on leadership, and I'm kind of really frightened of what's going to happen unless the Lord returns if we go into the next 20 years of deliverance workers. We might have a cocky bunch out there. We're talking about what we're seeing on the money game on TV, but we might end up like that too if we don't be careful. Everybody cannot be a general also in God's army. I've seen a lot that think they should be. You have to understand a general is just doing what a general is supposed to do. And a general is not going to be very effective if he doesn't have a military of soldiers doing what they're supposed to do. So everybody has got to do their part. Amen? In God's army, the general is just doing what he's trained to do. And real soldiers just want to serve. That's all a soldier really wants to do. Just want to serve, have an attitude of service. We'll ensure that your ministries will meet their destinies. And God really desires to teach your ministries how to war. So... I've seen that also. I've seen where people come in and they just want to work, just want to get at the front. I just want to go clean out the hospitals and everything else. And you got to hold back. You know, it's just like a lot of the ministries in secular churches or some of the ministries out there that really love Jesus send people through a 6-week evangelistic course and tell them to go out there and win the war and go out there and win souls for Christ. And they go out there and they so pumped up with religious spirits, they still got the smell of death on them. And they're out there trying to tell you to come to Jesus. I don't want none of that. Whatever you got, I don't want that. They don't even know where you're coming from. So we don't want you to miss your destinies here. We want you to make sure. And so a lot of this is not so much for you. It's amazing that the local church, I'm teaching them about what they're going to face. Right now I'm teaching you, and you're facing it already. But a lot of this message is really designed because there are other people out there that are questioning you and asking you about the message of deliverance. And this is a very, very basic teaching on the basics of warfare. It's very basic. This is things people want to hear. That's right, because I've seen people doing this and seen people doing that, and I don't think that's right. But anyway, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, where we see Paul teaching in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, we're all familiar with these scriptures. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this word wile here has several definitions. One is a deception, schemes, devices, methods, demonic strategies. So the enemy has a number of wiles that he wants to use against God's people. So we have to understand that God's going to equip you with a number of spiritual strategies to defeat him. So you can't just thought in one way and just be content, say, this is the way I do it. You're going to have to be diverse. And this is one of the things I was sharing with you early, that my pastor was not Jezebelic to me. He allowed me to dabble over here and learn over here and chew over here and spit out over there without becoming bitter and critical and judgmental. But if you're not really confident in what God has called you to do, then you're going to become critical. You're going to build your ministry on what you have judged as opposed to what was blessed by those that you judged and you shouldn't have judged that enriched your ministry. Remember, David learned how to be a good king by serving a bad one. And he wouldn't even touch God's anointing. That's a perfect picture of submission to authority. No, we just want to go after Goliath. Well, you can't go after Goliath if you have the same haughty spirit in you. I believe when it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high place. We have to consider who our enemies are. We are really fighting a spiritual battle. Our enemies are not people. Our enemies are deities, demonic spirits. And how we fight them, there are different strategies. The spirits that deal with sexual sins have their own category of principalities. Spirits from the occult have their own category of principalities. Okay, but overall, they're still all either demons, evil spirits, or unclean spirits, even though they answer to we. And I've incidentally never ministered to anyone that had a demon. I never mentioned anyone that had a demon. Sometimes in your ministry, and some of you just getting started, you look uncomfortable and say, well, suppose they get violent. Well, if they get violent, then God's got you there, so it's going to be okay. You just go to work and you say, Lord, I'm doing whatever you tell me to do. I'm doing what is written. Now, if you would consider this, the Bible says that our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down a stronghold, right? Okay, so if our weapons are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to pulling down a stronghold, you might make a note that if you get a violent manifestation, next time you might say, I bind you evil strength and you evil power in this man. I remind you, my weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down a stronghold. I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. And just relax. And then get them up off the floor or sit down right there and just start praying. The demons should relax, but that don't mean they won't stop cussing or whatever. Dealing with the mouth takes a little bit longer. But I want you to know there is a command for evil strength and evil power. But you may not remember it in your next battle. But that's okay. You'll do it the next time, because I remember the last time I got thrown on the floor, and I had a pair of nice black jeans on, and they were brand new, and it tore my jeans. How do you like that? The demon tore my jeans. It was a spirit of unforgiveness. And I discerned it because the person would not come out of the manifestation, and I had a sister helping me, and it was a very big assembly, and dogs cried out, and all that kind of stuff, and cats and stuff, and one of my elders said, did you hear that? I didn't hear nothing. I'm just steady issuing commands, you know. And the one man got his back was snapped in place, spinal problems or something. I remember all of that, but I remember particularly this person had unforgiveness, and as we, when I discerned what it was, I told my friend that was helping me, I said, listen, I'm going to speak a command in the name of Jesus and say for them to rise and stand up, and then I'm going to break them out of the bondage of the enemy, and then we're going to deal with them at another time. And we did follow up with deliverance, and what happened was the individual's daddy had another family on not too far from their residence in the same city. When I say four, I'm not 10 blocks. And they had grew up as friends, and she was hurt because her daddy was an adulterer and had another family. And she said, I'll never forgive you. And I'll be frank with you, I did not win that case. I hope someone else did later. But I worked and I gave him my best. I cried everything else with the person, with the husband and everything. But that demon said, I am not going to forgive that man. And a lot of times, unforgiveness is one of the reasons why we can't get the manifestations to go down. And then cast the demons out. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, God gives us a commission that we must be able to rightly discern. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 14, it says, be strong, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and good. So here God is building in endurance in your ministry. God wants you to be a committed soldier, a committed warrior for Him. And so He's going to give you the ability to be able to rightly discern both good from evil. But a real soldier of the Lord, one that is aspiring to fulfill the commission that God has empowered them with, want to learn how to discern good from good. So there are a lot of good things out there that distract you from your ministry. And when we first started off, I was invited to be on everything in the city. See, when I was in the world of businessmen, I was bored of this, on this and that, and all in front of everything, nothing but a front. Front city. Now all my friends, mayor went to jail. Oh, Lord, don't want this kid to go back to Beaumont. They just sent him to prison. And my other best friend, they tried to sue him. He's a lawyer on the council. And our whole city has been in disarray for the last 2 years. It hit national news. There's not many mayors go to prison. and that was my destiny. The sheriff came to my house and said he wanted me to run for city council when I was a young man. But he also wanted to get some trash on another friend of mine that was interested. So what I'm saying is there are going to be a lot of things, you know, but you're going to have to remember, what is the greater work? Is the greater work anything greater than setting a captive free? I say not. Let me try this. Before you can least lay claim that your ministry is a greater work, you ought to at least be able to know the same work that Jesus did. So if you're not comfortable doing the very same works that Jesus did, then don't even come allude to the fact that the work you're doing now is great work. You're not even doing the very same work. Now, when you learn how to do the very same work, and God branch your ministry internationally, and you send us 50,000 pounds of food over there, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But don't jump over that and say, well, we just didn't want to do that. You know, in the Old Testament, the only group that was designated for war was Gad. His name means troop, one of the sons of Jacob. But in the New Testament, the Bible says, all believers shall cast out devils. All believers shall lay hands on the sick. So I got a problem with those who want to go back to the Old Testament when it comes to deliverance. Because they say in the Old Testament, what? There was no deliverance. Not only why, I said Jesus did it anyway. Now finally, but that's not all of it. In ministering deliverance to God's people, the Word of God should be our only frame of reference. This is so important. Should be our only frame of reference. What is your resource? What are your references when ministering to an individual's life when it comes to deliverance? Just because something appears to work doesn't mean that it's of God. Just because something seems to work. And I'm going to tell you something happened here. I never said anything to anybody here. But somewhere between 3 and 7 years ago, I was ministering one night about idolatry. And the next day, a doctor stood back there and said, "You stepped all over me." And I was standing right next to her. I didn't know nothing. I said, "How you been doing? Don't you understand? You stepped all over me yesterday." And I realized then she was coming against me. So I said, "Ooh." Stepped over there and got in the next row and just stood up there. Because I never did nothing intentionally. So when you start doing what you're supposed to do, you know, people are going to be, may take offense, okay? And I'm going to tell you why, because they have a better way. Well, let's see if, we'll see what some of these better ways are. The Word of God is the only frame of reference. But over the years, I've witnessed some practitioners of deliverance using certain techniques that had no scripture backing. Several things I remember is something like maybe somebody placing the crucifix on a person's head. Now, this might sound a little humorous. Placing the crucifix, "Come out of there, you! Come out of there!" And then some were making a sign of the cross on the head, trying to get the demon out. And others had some holy water. I don't know where they got it from. They must have went... Well, anyway, so they had holy water. And they were throwing holy water on them. And, oh, my granddaughter, she loves coming here. She'd already called all the nieces and nephews and said we'll be here in July because they want to go swimming and go to the county, love the camp. But I was talking to her this past week. I had all my grandchildren staying with me, all but two of them. I said, "Well, Lexi, do you know they have fish in that lake?" "Oh, Papa, ain't no fish in that lake." I said, "Yes, Lexi, she was concerned about the fish woman now." So I'm going to have to go out in the lake with her now so she can get over the fish. So we're all looking forward to being down here July the 4th. We're going to come a day early, too, everybody, so let y'all know, because since it's going to be a short week for us, I got to come early to get the children here on the weekend. We have a real good time on July the 4th for the children. But anyway, I've seen people pouring oil on the captives. Just pouring oil. They get the oil down there. They either pouring oil or they tell them, "Anoint yourself all over. Put in the bath water. Come out of there, all that. Drink the oil. 7 drops of blessed oil, saith the Lord." Okay. Now, on the other hand, now if God tells you something, okay, then do it. However, what I've observed, when new converts going through deliverance, and the workers were simply doing to them what was done to them when they went through deliverance 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. They just never decided to step away and learn more. See, as a pastor, and I'm not going to give you my biography, but I'll just tell you this, that I have a lot going on, okay? But I'm still submitted to my pastor, going to fellowship. He has a deliverance service on Tuesday night, and whenever I'm not working overtime, or I'm out of town, or I just can't make it, because sometimes I just can't make it. Sometimes I need to study, or sometimes I just need to rest. Well, I don't know how many years, I'm going to say a minimum of 12 years, I'm sure, but I think about 17 years. I've been faithful going, and I'm a pastor. Most pastors would not submit to another pastor to go learn about deliverance. So don't you be the same. It's okay. Because you get a little authority, I got people under me, I got 30-some ministers, and that don't mean nothing to me. It's all about God. So don't become unteachable because now you're the man. Don't. Keep on learning. Go somewhere and submit. Learn, you know, learn. I was 48 when I went to Bible college. I didn't go because I had to go nowhere. I went because I wanted to discipline myself. I spent so much time learning for you. Wednesday night prayer meeting. You're bringing a person over who got leprosy. Got another one coming over with diabetes. And so I made myself go through a stringent course of balanced doctrine. And I had to prepare 4 subjects and pass to get my degree. So that's my business. And I would recommend no young person just getting started go because most of that stuff, they mix it up with Jesus died spiritually and all that, and I'm not going to get into that. But you won't really know how to discern the truth in some of the Bible class curriculum. And that's pastoring and traveling and ministering and everything else. So God has no room in his business for slothfulness, passivity. He's looking for warriors that are thirsting and hungering after righteousness to be filled, and they want to do the things that God's calling them to do. So that means you're going to have to sacrifice. That means you're going to put yourself out there on the block and say, "God, here I am. I'm ready to receive everything you have for me." And you can't do like Worthy say, you can't do, yes, sir. You can't do what you want to do like Worthy say. You can't go to the cafeteria and say, "I'll take this, but I don't want that." You're going to have to learn to eat the whole roll so you can be ready to shoot when God says shoot. Now, God's going to send somebody there and you're not going to be able to do anything. He said, "Well, if I've only listened to Brother Jim when he taught about how to deal with infirmities, I would have known what to do." But that wasn't my ministry. Oh, I don't want to deal with deliverance, but I want to deal with healing. How can you deal with healing and not deal with deliverance when it's one overall operation with the exception of one or two scriptures in the New Testament? Let me slow down. With the exception of one or two statements in the New Testament, it's clear that he healed the sick and many devils left, or demons left, or he cast out demons and many were healed. Then again, I've seen others using crystals. I've heard of people using crystals, but I've seen the special concoctions and had to run from that like the plague. Then there's a group that uses hypnosis at attempting to expel demons. There's a psychiatrist that was sent to me in Houston, Texas, when I was doing a seminar there last year, I believe, in Houston. And I had several ministers that ministered here at the camp. And one of the team, unfortunately, was ministered by a psychiatrist to see if there was any demons. I said, no, I won't do that. I'm not going to submit to him. He needs to learn what we have. Excuse me, it wasn't pride, but I'm not going to submit to that. Okay? And so, don't submit to anybody like that just to see if they can do their thing and see if it works. And their ministry went down after that. I didn't say anything to nobody, nor will I ever say anything. But I noticed that they're not being used a lot no more. Okay, so anyway, because God knows. That's all it meant. He didn't tell me to spread it. He said, let's leave it alone. And normally when I go, I bring four or five ministers, so you don't know who it was. I never very seldom work by myself. I was teaching up in Staten Island a few months ago, and I had the lady that handles our youth. She dealt with the schizophrenia and the bipolar and the attention disorders and mental illness, because she's teaching special education now, almost 30 years in the school district. We flew her up. My wife, she taught on offenses. I taught on deliverance and the importance of deliverance. Brother Dave Miller up in Staten Island, which is a contact and license through our ministry. He taught on the keys to the binding and loosing. So anyway, when we go, I grab the team. If you want to get on the team, just grab somebody's coat and keep on following. And one day they're going to say, it's on you. Huh? I'm still saying, I told Glenn this morning, I said, I don't need to teach. I said, let somebody else do it. I said, I'll be back in July. I don't be looking to do this. I got my hands full. I was talking with an editor of a paper here last week. I was thinking about putting an ad in a new Christian paper in our community. And I said, now, I'm going to give you some information. And I put the website, Lake Hamilton, they can order the books here. Okay, and I said, but I don't want you to write up anything in your editorial or in your proposal for me to look at and consider and advertise in your paper that has anything to do with me asking people for a place to minister, or solicitation, or any type like that. I said, I'm not interested in nothing. In fact, I already know, unless the Lord give us some additional funds, that, you know, we're not looking for anything. Hopefully, maybe it'll break even on maybe some books or something. So anyway, there's another group using regression. Regression, taking their victims back to their childhood, or even farther to the womb in the disguise of inner healing to locate the strong man in the individual's life. Regression. We don't need to go back into the womb, believe me. God has discerning. God has supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. God has nine gifts of the revelational gift. He has the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And so God will give you the information on the individual's life. If you will pray and become teachable and submit to authority, and you'll watch and learn, and when the time comes, God will be able to speak to your spirit, and you'll know what to do. Anyway, all of this is usually surface warfare anyway, and normally it never reaches the individual's problems or never gets to the root. And to me, I think it's when I look at this, when I've seen this in the past, all I've seen was a type of trying to get Satan to cast out Satan. Satan is not going to cast out Satan. In fact, we see in Matthew, just a few more minutes, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, Jesus speaks to these men. In the verse 25, he says, and Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Satan is not going to destroy himself. So all these concoctions and all this other stuff is just because individuals don't want to get into the very same works that Jesus did. It's too dirty, too uncomfortable. But what Brother Noah said today, ministering to a young lady some time ago, and by the time she was vomiting up and they were both soaking in vomit and she was free, he just said, well, he went and got a shower. So there are individuals that don't even want to get the shower. They don't want to get dirty at all. Now, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to take us, we did do good on time by the grace of God. And actually, I was going to come up here and grab my Bible and let Bill continue. Excellent. I'm going to come against some principalities and powers that I believe that I have been led by the Lord to place on paper here that over the years I've known to be considered, these have been known to be considered ruling spirits. So some of the names are going to be very common to you, then other names are going to be not common at all. But these are the ruling principalities. So we're going after the big boys today. And what I ask for you to do is that you would go with me in a renunciation prayer. And I'm going to ask for those that can stand for a moment, will stand with me, and I'm going to lead you in a renunciation prayer, and I'm going to sit you back down, if you don't mind. Amen? Will you stand? And repeat after me. In Jesus' name, I bind the strong man of sin and death, death and destruction, death and hell, inflicted upon me. I also bind the power of these curses, and I now cut and sever, break and loose myself from all evil curses, all alternate, all buried curses, all charms, hexes, vexes, spells, jinxes, all psychic powers, all psychic or manipulative prayers, bewitchments, witchcraft, sorcery, enchantments, incantation, all voodoo, hoodoo, jujus, all white magics, black magics, macumba, sandaria, palomate, all mischiefs, all covenants, portions, and omens. Also, break all curses of all mind control, occult mind control, witchcraft control, soul power, human spirits, familiar spirits, and spoken word curses that have come against me. I forgive everyone who may have loosed this against me, directly or indirectly. I break the power of all these curses and their hatred and their anger. I now take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I cut, sever, break and loose myself from all these curses and those that I haven't named. But the Holy Spirit know where you are. All curses coming from the psychic, from the occult, from other ungodly sources. I do this in Jesus' name by His shed blood. I declare all curses coming against me, broken, severed, made null and void. Those who the Son makes free is free indeed. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Ask that you sit down. Now, most of you heard from the teachers at 3 o'clock and 1:30, a lot of times the spirits, when they come out, there will be a release in the breath. In other words, demon, spirit, breath, all pneuma, it's all the same words. So a lot of times they're going to come out, as Brother Noah said earlier, there are 7 openings in the body, including the pores of the skin. So that's sweating, breaking out, and all that. So we're going to believe God. God does things in order. So everyone just be comfortable. I ask God to send angels. The angels are filling every crack and crevice of the place. They will assist in everywhere necessary. We also have workers that are trained here. So we just want you to relax. Remember, whatever God wants to deliver you from tonight, it's because that He has chosen this opportunity. He's chosen this time. The timing is perfect. This is your time. This is your day. This is the time that God wants to set you free. So don't hold back. I remember one time I was going through some deliverance. I decided to swallow it down, and the Lord said, the devil could see that one. That's so easy. That was so transparent to Him. He saw you swallow all that music back down. I said, oh, God, I sure did do that. So anyway, we got tissues around here. So if you need tissues, raise your hand up. Nothing to be ashamed of. I assure you, when you go out to deliverance and you're manifesting and spirits are coming out, some people have left. Come back in Jesus' name. And I assure you, when the spirits come out, a person on the side of you is probably saying, I wish it was me. Oh, God, you know I masturbate. Oh, God, you know I lie. Oh, God, you know I cheat. So don't hold on to your demons, because believe me, the person on the side, they want to get free too. Everybody's trying to get free, so when it doesn't happen for them, oh, they just be crying out to the Lord, oh, Lord, help me, help me. So if you feel the manifestation, you feel like the Lord is moving, then allow it to happen. Amen? Let God do it. So I'm going to issue a command, a general command over you, and I just ask that you'll not say anything, but agree with me in your mind. Just pray in your mind if you have to pray. But try not to too much when I start issuing the command for the spirit to come out to be saying Jesus, Jesus, because It's kind of like a submarine coming up in Russian waters, American submarine. When they come up like that, they see all the Russian tanks looking at it, back down. So if the demon's coming up, you see Jesus, why would it come up there? So just be agreeing and taking a deep breath every once in a while. Don't do it too often, because then you start hyperventilating. You think you're getting delivered. Oh, Lord, look at me. Oh, honey, give me some water. I mean, deliverance is fun. That's riding the old New Testament church. It's fun. But it's serious business, you know. And so, you know, we're in our battle array right now. All guns are loaded. We're ready to go. But it's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, just be careful. Don't become critical. Just try to test my spirit. When you leave here, don't go back across the country talking about, nobody does it like Lake Hamilton. There's other people do it like Lake Hamilton. I mean, I'm in Texas. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I'm attacking you from my spiritual position in the third heaven, where we are seated spiritually with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, far above all principalities, far above all powers, mights, and dominions. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And he's given us, the believers, the very same power and authority. Jesus said he's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt us. So I'll now exercise that power and authority that's been given us. And I come against every spirit attacking God's people here tonight by the blood of the Lamb, by the name of Jesus, the authority of the believer, the unity of our spirit, and the word of God. In Jesus' name, I bind all strong man, all commanders of legions, all ruler demons, all lesser demons, all servant demons, all of the underlying spirits, all of the co-hosts, all of the doorkeeping spirits, to harassing every person that's willing and desire to get free. I'm not going to minister, and God is not going to usurp your authority. If you don't want deliverance tonight, I'm not ministering to you. Just for those that want it. So you don't say, he made this happen to me. So if you're sitting out there and you're saying, I'm in agreement with God. We're not going to deal with you. Alright. So every spirit that's keeping each person here that's in agreement in bondage. Now I bind your powers and I command every one of your foul spirits. You're going to line up in rank and file from the Lord's command to the highest of command. And you're going to leave in an orderly fashion, and you're not going to rent anybody in here in Jesus' name. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and I cut and sever every evil spirit that I'm about to call out from Satan and from one another, so you can't hang on to one another for help, for comfort, or support. I also cut you from those that are unknown, all of the unknown and no-name spirits. I cut and sever you from all the muscles, from all the ligaments, from the tendons, the nerves, the sinews, the tissues, from the vertebrae, from the distance, from all portions of the spinal cord, from every organ and every limb. We wash you and purge you from every area of this body with the blood of Jesus. I also sever between the consciousness and the unconsciousness and the subconscious mind, so all things of the past can be released. I bind and stir up all power demons, strong men, ruler demons, in every part of the mind, the soul, and the body, and I throw confusion and weakness into your ranks. I command every demon in this category to come out of darkness into light, according to 1 Corinthians 4:5. I forbid you to use any trickery, any deceit, any mischief. I bind all the spirits directly to the authority of Jesus Christ and his divine judgment. And in Jesus' name, I command every one of you to leave along with all your memories, the scars, the roots, the works, the nest of these spirits, and all of the habits. I forbid the importation, importation of evil spirits in here to someone touch somebody or someone is touching in here. I forbid that. Place the walls of the blood of Jesus between every person. And I ask God to send those angels to minister to each one of the individuals that are willing to participate. And I'm going to call out certain ruling principalities that have been known to hinder ministers and hinder believers in their walk and their commissions. So in Jesus' name, I come against not only the principalities that may be demonized in our own life, but also over our family life and over our ministry. So when I enter the command, it'll be a threefold command in Jesus' name. Every spirit of the fallen angel, come out. You go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of wholesome, you go. All the rulers of the world, spirits, you get out of us, you go. Now the demons of death, that means all type of death. It doesn't matter. But the ruling spirits over death and all of the underlying spirits of death, you go in Jesus' name. Get out of us. Every evil supernaturalism spirit, you go in Jesus' name. All spirits of hindrance, these are the ruling spirits. We tend to want to go after the infirmity and the sickness and all that, but these are the ones that are over them. So we're coming against those. Every spirit of hindrance, you go in Jesus' name. Now, today, Sister Shield did a wonderful job on teaching. I want in Jesus' name, I ask that the Lord showed me something today. I can't do that. This is not my hour. So I'm just going to say this. Every knife of betrayal in every one of your backs in Jesus' name, I ask angels to position themselves on the right side of every person's back and begin to yank the betrayal, the knife of betrayal out of your back in Jesus' name. All that, every one of us has been betrayed. Betrayed by lovers and betrayed by spouses and betrayed by children. All this, the knife of betrayal, I just pull it out of your backs. Now the spirit of the knife of betrayal, come out of us in Jesus' name. You go. Now every spirit of enchantment, come out. All familiar spirits, come out. The spirit of Tarsus, come out. All children of the devil, come out. All feeble spirits, come out. All blindness spirits, you come out. All infirmity spirits, now go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. I break the ties between you. I break them. All the multiple spirits of infirmity. You go in Jesus' name. All the false prophet spirits, you come out of us. You go in Jesus' name. The thorn in the flesh, you go in Jesus' name. Spirits of covetousness, come out. Come out of there. All false apostle spirits, come out of us. Go in Jesus' name. All of the imp spirits, come out. Come out. All spirits of darkness, spirits of sorcery, spirits of oppression. Now the python spirit, you come out of us. Every python spirit, you go in Jesus' name. You on call right now out of our bowels, you come out of there. For out of our bellies should be rivers of living water, and our bowels were filled with compassion, as Jesus moved with compassion. So you python spirit, you come out of us. You go. You can't hide, demon. Get out of there. You go. Come out, python. Now all the spirit of unbelief, come out. Unbelief, come out. Excuse me. Spirits of fear of death. All fear of death, come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of idolatry, you go in Jesus' name. Spirit of the world. Spirit of the world, come out of there in Jesus' name. God of the age, go in Jesus' name. Go. All medium spirits. All medium spirits working in the family. All the medium spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of slumber. Spirits of soul power. Come out, soul power. Go. Spirits of jealousy. Spirits of rage. Spirits of rebellion. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of hatred. Spirits of anger. Spirits of ugliness. Come out of the people of God in Jesus' name. Spirits of rejection, come out. Spirits of resentment, come out. All of the snake spirits, come out of there. Snake, get out of there. Get out of there in Jesus' name. Spider, all of the spiders being caught in a web. Just caught in a web in my life. Come out of there. Go in Jesus' name. We just tear out that web. In the name of Jesus, with the flame of God, we just burn up that web. Come out, cobra. The cobra spirits, come out of us. You get out of the house of God. Get out of the house. Mongoose. Get out of the house of God. Go in Jesus' name. Now, according to Jeremiah 20, chapter verse 3, Megamizabeth, which means terror on all sides. It's a frightening spirit. The spirit gets inside there. It works, I believe it works with voodoo. And then people receive the curse and their skin break out because terror on all sides. It's like a city whose walls come down. That's your walls, your city. So you break out with all kinds of skin infirmities because you have a nervous condition. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All of the authorities, come out in Jesus' name. The charmer spirits, the charmer, go. Evil practices, go. Come out of there. Spirit of defeat. Spirit of wickedness. Spirit of divination, come out of there. Divination, come out of there. You go. Generational divination, go in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All the vipers, come out, vipers, get out of there. Magic, come out, magic. Go in Jesus' name. Spirits of necromancy. Necromancy, worshiping the dead, ancestral necromancy. On my father's side, they were universal religion. Okay, so anyway, so I had a strong curses coming down that side of the line. Even had nuns in the family, whole works. So we worship the dead. Necromancy spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All principalities, come out. All unclean spirits, go. All powers. Spirit of the wizard. Come out of there, you wizard demons. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Spirits of corruption. Come out of there, Baal, come out. False gospel. The Nicolaitan spirits. Spirits of the deceiver. Spirits of the tempter. Come out of there. Tempter, come out. All spirits of accusation. Spirit of bondage. All bondage, go. Come out of there, enemy. Come out of there, disobedience. Come out of there. All liars. Lies. All strange gods. All slanderous spirits. All beast spirits. All mockery spirits. Come out of there. Come out of there, jokester. Joker. Jesting. Foolishness. Come out of there, the fool. Come out. Get out of the people of God. We don't have any time for that kind of play. It's time. We got work to do. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there. All spirits of generational incest. All spirits of incest. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Generational molestation. Go in Jesus' name. All molestation spirits. Go. Being touched and fondled as babies. We don't even know about it. I break those soul ties with those manipulators that came and molested the people of God here. I call back our souls and spirits from them. We send back to them their souls and spirits. And we exchange their image for the image of Christ. I say, be made whole in Jesus' name. Be restored in Jesus' name. We speak to the molestation spirits, the curse of control, the demons of control, all their familiar spirits, and incest. Go now in Jesus' name. I break the bastard curse over your life. I break the bastard curse from incest, conceived in lust, born in adultery, born out of wedlock, born in fornication, and all spiritual bastard curses. I break them in Jesus' name. Command those spirits to go. Come out of there. All illegitimate birth spirits, come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. My father and mother were real nice about it. They told me later when my dad came out of Korea, say, well, we had you after dad came back from the war, even though you was born before.
Mm-hmm.
Read the book. I don't have them here. I just wrote one on bastard curse. Anyway. Spirits of lasciviousness. You'd be interested to see what happened to me in my family line. Spirits of lasciviousness. You go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. All wicked spirits. Now, spirits of witchcraft, go. Come on, witchcraft. The ruler of witchcraft, go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. I probably hadn't had any water all day, and I'm probably talking a little loud, but you don't need to scream at demons. I'm just kind of enjoying the moment, watching what God is doing, okay? But you don't need to scream. But I'm used to having a mic there, and I keep forgetting I got this here, so I'm just talking loud. Come out, all witchcraft, ruler of witchcraft, come out of there. Now, the spirit of the trance. Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. You ever got delivered from that in your younger days when y'all used to do the Holy Ghost shuffle? Spirit of trance, come out. You probably never want to deal with that. You say, well, I moved on. I got mature. The demon's still there. Come out, trance. Go in Jesus' name. All you trance spirits, go. Trance spirits from Achaia. Trance spirits from acid, from LSD. All those trance spirits that came in when we was in the youth movement of the 60s and the early 70s. All the trance spirits now that have infiltrated the church. Talking about it's the power of the Holy Ghost. Come out. Now all nature worship. Come out, nature worship spirits. False worship. Flesh worship. All holy jerking spirits. All the holy jerking spirits. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Worshipping other gods. Satanic worship. Now all the spirits of Kundalini. Kundalini, come out of there in Jesus' name. Go, manifest and get out of the people. All spirits of Odelamar. Go, come out of the people. Spirits of Kali. Go in Jesus' name. Now all of the chief princes. Come out. Chief kings. All the giants, all the kings of Babylon, the towers of Babylon, all the devils and the prince of devils, come out of the people of God. Now you go. I break that power of our families. I break that power of our ministries. I break that power over us as individuals in Jesus' name. All the princes come out, all the serpents, all the dominions, all the witches, all the generals. Alexandra, come out. You go now in Jesus' name. All legions, go in Jesus' name. All the rulers, all the world rulers, all the chief rulers, all the captains, all the chief captains. Go now in Jesus' name. You go now in Jesus' name. You go now in Jesus' name. Now the spirits of Jezebel. Go, Jezebel. Come out of there. Ahab. Go in Jesus' name. All demons. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, Balaam. Go in Jesus' name. Murder. Go. Son of the morning. Apollyon. Destroyer. Host of hell. Antichrist. Nimrod. Great red dragon. False religions. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Now all the spirits that came in through television series, through movies, through sitcoms, the background music, the lies that they told, the new age, all you demons, you go now. Get out of there in Jesus' name. Get out of there in Jesus' name. Movies, television shows such as I Love Lucy and all of that. You go now in Jesus' name. Get out of us in Jesus' name. All the music that came from Carlos Santana, Jimi Hendrix, the Grateful Dead, all type of jazz, all type of rock, all type of rap, all the drum rhythm set, all the drum rhythmic stimulations, you go now in Jesus' name. You go, all ungodly worship, all false worship, all of the orishas in false worship, all of the deities in false worship, all of the ungodly holy laughter. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All of the ungodly worship, you go now in Jesus' name. Now break all Santeria curses that have been placed on you by your neighbors, by your friends, by your family, by your enemy. If you had any Santeria curses, I break their powers in Jesus' name. I break all Lukumi's curses also that may have been placed upon our lives. I break that power in Jesus' name. I break all generational voodoo that was placed on you or may have been placed on you in Jesus' name by slaves, by those who are practitioners of voodoo. I break that power in Jesus' name. I break those curses. I break them against your ministry, your family, and your lives. I break those powers in Jesus' name, commanding all those demons to go in Jesus' name, to go in Jesus' name. Every one of you, go in Jesus' name. Will you please stand? Those of you that can stand, let me bless you. Father, we thank you right now. And we just thank you right now as the Holy Spirit. We just pray, Father, let the Spirit of God just fill those places that were once inhabited by the powers of darkness. Lord, we just thank you right now for deliverance tonight. And Lord, I thank you right now that you are doing a work in your people, and the work that you have begun in your people, that you are faithful to complete that work to the very end. I thank you that we will have a good night's sleep, that we are blessed. The angels will be here. The angels will be with our family. The grounds are being swept. The grounds are being cleansed by the power of God. We have faith in you, God. We trust in you. To the pure, you appear pure. To the impure, you appear impure, but yet you appear. To the faithful, you appear pure. To the faithful, you appear faithful, but to the unfaithful, you appear to be unfaithful, and yet you are faithful. So now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, congregation, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, which speaks of eternal. May the Lord bless you. Amen. See you tomorrow at 6. God bless you. Be excited about it. There's nothing wrong with deliverance. Good thing. Amen. God bless you all.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.